Church, amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I want to thank God for this beautiful day. This is the first Sunday in the month of February. The Lord is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, I want to let us know that our senior pastor, Pastor Michael Obi, his wife Desire, and our leaders, we have Pastor Grace, we have Sister Yinka, we have Mama Rachel, and others. They've gone for assignment in DC. At this moment, they should be on their way back. And very soon, they're going to be with us. Amen.
Amen.
So we bless the Lord that that ministration in DC was successful. The presence of the Lord was real. We thank God for that accomplishment. It's not just a program. It's a way of touching heaven. And God is bringing the fruits into our lives and into this nation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to count it a great privilege this morning to stand and share the word of God. Please, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Begin to read chapter 3. Verse 1 through 11. Second Corinthians 3. 1 to 11. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we mean, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such thrust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, the last verse now, what remains is much more glorious. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning we going to talk on believers, ministers of the new covenant. You, all the believers, we are ministers of the new covenant. Hallelujah. As ministers of the new covenant, that is, all born again Christian, all who have been set aside, who have been born by the Spirit, we are ministers of the new covenant. We are the living epistle of Christ, not of the letter, not the one that is set by men, whose selection is based upon written code of the law, but of the Spirit. And Christ has made us competent, therefore entrusting the glorious ministry into our hands. That is a wonderful privilege. Brethren, we'll be hearing from time to time on this pulpit, God is beginning to do something this end time, and it's about to blow up. And we are in this season.
Amen.
And that is the season of harvest.
Amen.
And God is preparing every minister in this house. That means every believer ministers to bring in the harvest.
Amen.
If you have been born again and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you have been selected. You have been called not by physical training, not by the code of the law, not by training in any school, but the school of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord has set you aside for a purpose in this end time.
Amen.
And so we're going to challenge ourselves this morning that as we enter into this season of harvest, see yourself as a minister and be ready to do something.
Amen.
Be ready to be up for the Lord and be an instrument that will impact your generation where God has planted you. Amen. We're going to see just three things this morning. 3 points. Number one, we are Christ's living epistles. Every child of God, God has put His Spirit inside of you, and He has positioned you where you are to become what people read. Have just few percentage of people that go to church on Sunday, about 20% in this nation, just 20%. So the 80% of people who are not going anywhere, they have on a daily basis and weekly and monthly those who are going to the church who ought to represent the kingdom of heaven where they are planted. And they ought to be the living epistle that this 80% of people should read. Not everybody will want to read the Bible, but you can become an epistle where you are that people can read. So the scripture says, verses 1 to 3 of that portion we have read, that you, I, every one of us, we have been a living epistle of Christ, not the one that is written with ink, not the one that is written by human hand. It is the one that is written by the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. And this is read by everyone, young and old, learned and unlearned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, the scripture says that, can we read that? 1 Corinthians 4. It's not working. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9 says that we have been made a spectacle to the world. God has made you and myself a spectacle to the world. We know what happens when we go to watch football. Alright? People sit down and we have all the spectators, we have the fans, we have everyone together seated and we fix our eyes on those who are doing the playing of the football. And we watch. And then we back up our group. Depends on the your camp. You want to be a fan and you want to fan them into victory. So we keep on watching, we keep on see what is happening, and then we share them into victory. We share them into victory. And the Bible says that we have been made spectacle. We are the people that the world is looking at. Just as we go to the football arena and we watch what is happening, we want to see who wins. In the book of Jeremiah 31:33, it's the same thing we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Anybody? just teaching this morning. Anybody try to help us to read the scripture? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, with Jeremiah 31, 33. If you have seen it, please read.
Hebrews
8, verse 10.
And says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people."
Thank you so much. The covenant that God spoke about in Jeremiah 31, 33 is repeated in that Hebrew chapter 8, verse 10. That in the end time, I will write my law on the table of their heart. I will write my law upon their table, the table of their heart, and they will be my people. I will be their God. I will be their God. They will be my people. So God is expecting us, having received the word of life, having been called by Christ, having been set aside, having received that word, that internal word, that incorruptible word in our hearts, God is expecting us to stand out there as the one that represents him, the one that the world will read and they will see Christ. And we are people that have been made to stand in the public. In verse 2 of that scripture we have read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about we have been made public to be read by everyone, to be seen by everyone. Whatever you are working, whether it's Amazon, whether it's it's a school, whatever, we find ourselves, God planted you there so that you represent Christ. And everyone is reading what you project. Everyone is reading what you project. What they see in you, to them, that is the message. That is the message from Christ. If they see anything positive, that is the message from Christ. If you see anything negative, that is the message from Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "We are Christ's ambassadors." As ambassadors, we are representing the kingdom. We are representing the kingdom of God here on earth. We are representing a kingdom that has been established in heaven. And we are here on earth representing that kingdom. And as ambassador, we are to speak on behalf of the home government. And that is heaven. That is God himself. We are to speak on behalf of the kingdom. What is the message according to you? What is the message according to me? Hallelujah. Point number two this morning. We are Christ competent ministers. Back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, talks about competence. Humanly speaking, none of us is qualified. We are not qualified to do anything, to handle anything. But we have been made qualified. We have been approved. You have been approved by heaven. And you have been selected as one that has been approved by heaven. And you have been qualified to stand on behalf of God, to stand on behalf of the kingdom, to declare his mind. So Paul was writing to the Corinthians that, look, We are not qualified, humanly speaking, but our qualification comes from the Lord, comes from the Lord himself, and he has qualified us, thereby making us competent to share the word. The hearer of Paul in his time, they were questioning his ability or his qualification as an apostle. They were comparing Paul with all the leaders. And they said, "Paul, we don't know much about him. He has no right to stand before us." And they were questioning, the Corinthians were questioning his credentials. What right has he? Who gave him the authority? Who gave him the right to stand? And he was writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The qualification and the competence come from the Spirit of God. And he told the Corinthians, one proof is that you, the Corinthians, you had the word. And when you received the word of life, which was written on the tablets of your heart, that is a proof that we have been called. That is a proof that we have been chosen. And for every child of God, the proof that you have been chosen in this end time to be a vessel through which God wants to bring about the harvest is that you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The competence to stand is based upon the finished work of Christ on the cross. And the Spirit of the Lord has made that known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we please rise? Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless your name at this moment. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, but Satan, but I'm a king of Shatta Yagush. Marina Satan, that I'm a king of Shaka, Bobo Yakanda Yabash. Rotondori Baba Kari Baba Shakeri Baba Huma Sandayaki Dibosh. Makiri Baba Santa Dayabaku Dibobo Yakeri Bobosh. Mahia Baba Santa Dayaki Dibosh. Makiti Baba Baba Santa Yakari Baba Huaba Sekiri Alabas. Little Durububu Karababa Huaba Shaka Dayaku Yabas. Marekata Bahu Rebakata Dahi Nibus Yeleke Baba. Rotobo Yakeri Musana Yabas Yeleke. Robo Dabaha Bakaka Yabu Yabas Yeleke Boyabush. My take the Bobo Santa Diana Baket Bobo Baga, Santa Bobo Shaka Debo, Maka Debo Siala Bahu Debo Siala Makata Baba Hobo Sete Debo, Iba Halabakaya, Yete Debo Baba Hobo Sete Yama, Boko Debo Baba Siala Debo, Mahiala Baba Bori Baba Santa Yamakari Baba Shete, Mahu Yaba Santa Yete Debo Bobo Bosh, Yelaba Santa Hara Baba Hoba Sete Baba, Yelaba Kaba Hobo. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray through this morning. I decree right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree right now, every force, anything that is contrary to the book, to the purpose of God, this morning, I pull them down by the blood of the Lamb. I decree the blood of Jesus, I nullify under the name of Jesus. Every that was sons, I nullify under the authority. I nullify under the name of Jesus. Every malady, I nullify. Every blindness, I nullify. Oh, that is the name of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is written, the righteous in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak liberty. I speak understanding. I speak the freedom of the Spirit of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, take over. After work this hour, after work this moment. Thank you, Father. Glory unto the name. Glory unto the name. We give you praise. We give you honor. Be thou exalted, O God. Be thou exalted, O God. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we exalt your name. Hallelujah. Glory, honor to your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lily of the Valley. Oh, Shakata Boye Yebos. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Shall I please have our seats? God works in every heart to fulfill his eternal purpose. God works in your heart to bring about his internal purpose. If there is any business, if there is anything the heaven is doing at this very moment, is to rake in the harvest. Is to bring in the harvest of souls. Is to bring in men and women from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. So God works in us to bring about that which he had as his plans. And by the Spirit of the Most High God, the Spirit that dwells in us, God breaks every barrier and every yoke. As we stand in his name, as we represent him, he works in you, through you. And by you, he wants to expand the kingdom. He wants to expand his territory here on earth. Hallelujah. The human law contains rules, and they are difficult to keep. But the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty, brings understanding, brings men to realize, to experience freedom. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, there we find the scripture tells us that we have been chosen, we have obtained favor from God. Not only favor, we have obtained liberty, and not only that, we have obtained inheritance. Now, this inheritance that we have obtained is to enable us to be a co-heir with Jesus. Jesus is the heir. Let me put it this way. In the Old Testament, when a man so rich, like Abraham was so rich, and before he passed away, the Bible says he gave his wealth, he passed it to his son, Isaac. He passed his wealth to Isaac, but he gave gift to all the children from the concubine. It was only the heir that inherited that which belonged to him. And Jesus Christ is the firstborn qualified as the heir of God. And God has given him everything that he had. God has given him the entire world. God has given him every one of us, the human being, because the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, he created everything for himself and by himself. They are for him, for his glory. So the Father has bestowed upon Jesus all that he had, not only here on earth, every human being, especially born again Christian, not only us, everything God has in heaven has been given to Christ. But you know the glorious thing? We have been made co-heir with Jesus. We have been made co-heir with Jesus. In one word, everything that Jesus is entitled to, all that the Father has given him, all that the Father has bestowed upon him, we share. God the Father said, in fact, God just left, he said, look, in my name, you will cast out demons. In my name, you will do this. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Hallelujah. And someday, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to unify all the things in heaven. That is, the family in heaven and the family on earth will be one. And then we are going to reign with him. In fact, there's a portion in the scripture, in the book of Revelation, that we are going to share a portion of his throne. That doesn't mean that we are struggling. What does it mean we are talking about throne? It's talking about authority. It's talking about position. It's talking about influence. And we are going to begin that here on earth. And that is why God has put his spirit in you, wherever you cry, have a father, so that you'll be able to display his glory here on earth. You'll be able to disclose and be able to display that authority as a joint heir with Jesus. He's been given that authority. He's been given everything in heaven and earth. And that's why we must not see ourselves, don't see yourself as poor, because Jesus became poor for you so that you'll be rich. He holds everything. He's in control of everything. And so we also possess everything. Shout hallelujah. So by the Spirit of the Lord inside of you, you are representing a kingdom. A kingdom that can never, never pass away. A kingdom that can never be defeated.
Amen.
The king is always winning. The king is always on top. The king is always victorious. There's no battle that's ever won. That is the one that will represent this kingdom here on earth.
Amen.
And because it's unlimited, the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in us is unlimited. It can never be defeated. So, where God has planted you, you have influence. Where God has planted you, you have authority. Where God has planted you, God wants you to expand the kingdom of God. Revival is a battle buster. The reckoning of the souls of men in this world today, in America, in Cleveland, God is expecting you. Exercise the power of the kingdom. Exercise that authority of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it comes to law, when it comes to the Old Testament, all those things are showed. All those things are limited. But in Christ, and by the Spirit of the Lord, we dwell and we operate under the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit gives life. But every other thing gives the opposite. Human flesh gives death. Law gives death. Anything other than the Spirit of God is opposite of life. But the Spirit gives life. And if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you have life. You have life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God has given you liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord can never, never be limited. And God has given you the unlimited Spirit to operate with. To stand and rebuke and push back every force of darkness. Anything that is militating and mitigating against the purpose of God. First, in your life, in your home, and in your environment, in the, you know, where God has planted you, you have the right, you have the authority. When you look into yourself as the one who's going to do it, you will fail. If we look into ourselves as the one who's going to do it, we will fail, because nothing dwells in man that is okay. But the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in you is the one that is carrying out the authority, that is carrying out the work. All you need to do is to operate by that Spirit. So Paul was reminding the Israelites, look, when it comes to law, that is death. There's limitation. Nothing good can come out of it. But by the Spirit of God, there's liberty. People can be free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 The Spirit gives life and liberty. The Spirit enables believer to live high moral life. We see what is happening today. We are seeing like never before. The world is under attack. Under attack. Morality is being murdered. The truth is being killed. Liberty is facing trial. The world is going opposite of what God had in mind. But the only check, the only way we can check the world, the only way the world can be checked is through the Spirit of God. And the one that can do that is the church. You are myself. You are myself. You are the church, not this building. If the church only functions on Sunday, then it's not church. If only we gather together and that's when we are church, And then as soon as we get out there, we are no more church. Then we are missing it. Then the devil and the enemy will keep on going on a free ride. Then they will spread rapidly. The church that Jesus died for is not building. He died for us. He died for you and for me. And he expects the power that raised him from the dead, that same power is the one that has been deposited in your heart, crying, Abba Father. And that same power, if we allow him, the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll put the word to check. Immorality will be put to check. All ungodliness will be put to check. Let's begin it from our domain. Let's begin it from our territory. If the gospel is going to spread, if men and women will find the truth and be delivered, there will be someone who is sought to change the taste. The word is sour. The need a better taste. And God has made you. Elsewhere in the scripture, it talks about, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about you being aroma of Christ. I being aroma of Christ. When you after you put on your dress and you want to go out, like you're coming to the church this morning, and especially our ladies, I really honor our ladies. You want to put in some little perfume, alright? To just change the atmosphere, just to change the way, you know, you smell. Alright? Jesus is saying the world is having foul odor, and you are the aroma to change. To change the smell. Like the aroma. That's so used to change what is going on in the world. So the spirit inside of you, inside of me, will cause you to leave the moral love. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21 says, now he who establishes you, who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. God has anointed us, church, to impact Cleveland, to impact this state, to impact where you are, to change the atmosphere. You are the aroma. You are the epistle that people read. You are the aroma that can change the smell in that office, in that place of work, in that school, in your home, in your community. You know, there are a lot of things going on there, but you are the aroma of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God has enrolled us, we keep hearing that, God has enrolled us in the school of the Holy Spirit. And God has been training us for such a time as this. I don't know how many subjects you have taken. But whatever, you know, you have learned, whatever I have learned, God is saying, you have learned sufficiently enough to stand out there and make an impact. Amen. Hallelujah. It was Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 to 17 said, when he was born again, when Christ enlisted him, when he received the heavenly vision, he said, I did not confer to flesh and blood. Said immediately when I had that touch, said he went to Arabia. And for 3 years he was being taught. He was in the school of the Holy Spirit. Not physical school, but the school of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, this was a man who happened to be a PhD holder in his own world. He was well known, was among the Sanhedrin. When it comes to education,
it was Ithan.
When it comes to position in the world, it was Ithan.
It was one of the Sanhedrin, one of the people that had to be consulted. People in power in his own time.
But when Jesus came and the Holy Spirit arrested him, he was taken into a school. He began as a kindergarten with the Holy Spirit.
And when the Holy Spirit had done with him, he was ready to turn his world upside down. Rather, turn his world upside down. Right side up. Right side up.
Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the same man speaking here, under the power of the Holy Spirit. That was why they were questioning him. You didn't go into those kind of schools that other disciples went to.
You didn't follow Jesus. You didn't see him
after his resurrection. So you can't be one of the apostles. Don't call yourself an apostle.
So this is not a matter of man picking what he wants to. I have been chosen.
He used that word there. The one who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God.
We have been anointed, Mount Zion. We have been anointed for a time and season like this.
Don't let us sit on the fence. Don't let us continue to be as if we have not learned enough. We have not gotten the, you know, all that we need to get. God has deposited in all. We just need the Holy Spirit. And next to that is obedience. With the Holy Spirit in you and obedience, I tell you, you can turn,
one person can turn Cleveland.
Turn it around. You can turn that workplace around for Jesus. You can change the foul odor in that office. With the aroma of Christ, you changing the atmosphere. And how people think, how they feel, what they hear, what they say in that office, in that school, in that community. You can.
Why? You have been chosen
by Spirit. So not only that we are Christ's living epistle, and we are Christ's competent ministers. Don't forget, every born again Christian, a minister. You are a minister. You are representing God. You are representing the Holy Spirit. You have the word in your mouth. You have the word in your heart. God wants you to stand and declare the word. You might say, well, I don't know. I don't think I have those verse something in the scripture. I don't, humanly speaking, I don't see anybody that is qualified by himself. When it comes to this thing, the Holy Spirit have to qualify. Hallelujah. You will discover that the day you decide that today I'm going to stand for Jesus, you will see grace from nowhere coming upon you and doing the work. So that there will not be anyone that will be, that will arrogate to himself or herself the doings of the Lord. God oftentimes wants to walk through our weaknesses so that he will take the glory. Hallelujah. Lastly, we are entrusted with a glorious ministry. We are entrusted with a glorious ministry. The scripture says, look, if the ministry in the Old Testament, if the ministry under Moses, the ministry of death, the law, he went to the mountain and was there 40 days, 40 nights, the glory of God came upon him. And when he came down, they could not look at his face because of the glory. And the end result of the 40 days and the anointing and the glory of God that came down was the law. And that is the law that brought death. That condemned people. He said, look, if the ministry of Moses, the ministry of death, so to say, is so glorious that people could not look at the face of Moses, much more the ministry of the Holy Spirit committed into your hands. The ministry of Christ is much more glorious. Hallelujah. It's not the ministry of condemnation. In the Old Testament, the Lord said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And if you do, penalty. But the ministry that we find ourselves in is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry Jesus brought is liberty, is freedom. And that's what the scripture kept saying, that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. He brought a ministry, a covenant of liberty, not to do what you feel like doing, but a liberty, freedom from captivity, freedom from the path of darkness. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the medium of exchange is blood. It has ever been and it will ever be. In the spirit realm, not just Old Testament, the medium of exchange is blood. And so in the Old Testament, you will see that often. You know, those who fear the Lord, you know, they will raise altar of worship and serve God and worship the Lord. Those who do not even know God, they also have their own altar. And what do? They sacrifice blood too. Because in the spiritual realm, the medium of exchange is blood. But as many as have walked with God by faith in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the ministry, the blood, the perfect and the best blood that will finally set men free. They were looking by faith. They were looking ahead. Because they did everything by faith. And whatever is of faith is of Abraham. Whatever is of Abraham is looking into Christ. Believing what Christ will do later. And when Christ died, it went back to cover everyone. They all have been. But the blood of bulls and goats could not save man or deliver any man. The only blood that has delivered and is delivering man has been the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And nothing can stand against that blood. Every other blood, human, animal, whatever, they are inferior. So when Jesus said it is finished, and his blood touched the ground, and he took that blood and went into the temple in heaven, because whatever is found here on earth is a replica of what is in heaven. He took his blood to the presence of the Father. And that appeased the Father. And that brought about liberty for you and for me. That ministry is a glorious one. It's the one that sets people free. It's the one that gives people hope. It's the one that will get people into heaven. So the ministry we find ourselves in, brethren, is the ministry which is much more glorious than the ministry of Moses. One. We are privileged to be born again. We are privileged to be alive at a time like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says the ministry under Moses, you know, the glory fades away. The code is the law that brings condemnation and death. But the one we are in is more glorious because number one, it brings righteousness. Verse 9. The portion we read. It brings righteousness. What does that mean? It brings in the righteousness of Christ. As the new robe, the old robe is taken from you, the robe of sin, the robe of dejection, failure, and condemnation and death. And the righteousness of Christ, which is the new robe, is put upon you. So God sees you as righteous. God sees you as innocent. And God is saying, you represent me here on earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have not done anything. I have not done anything. But because of what he did, what Jesus did, you have been made righteous. So, the ministry is more glorious. And that's what we represent. And that's what the message we are to preach. Men can be free. Men can become righteous. Men can have hope of life. Men can be forgiven. It doesn't matter how deep they've gone into sin. They can be forgiven. They can be cleansed. They have hope. Hallelujah. And lastly, it is glorious because it lasts. Verse 11. This ministry that has been entrusted into our hands, the preaching of the gospel, will last forever. Everybody will pass away. But Christ and what he stands for last forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be two passages of the scripture and then we close. Hebrew, if you find it, you can read Hebrew 12, 27. Hebrew 12, 27. 1 Peter 1, 25. Anybody? Do you have that? Okay. What does it say? Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things. There are those things that are being shaken, those things that will not last, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What is it that cannot be shaken? The church. Hallelujah.
Yeah. The true church of Jesus Christ will stand. Even those here will stand.
The world is shaking. Everything is shaking today. The church will be shaking, but the church will stand. So that what will remain, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things that cannot be blown away will remain. And the blood of Jesus is supporting his people. It doesn't matter how corrupt the world looks like. It doesn't matter how difficult it looks like to pass through this world. The true believer will stand. They will stand and they will remain until the rapture. 1 Peter 1, 25. 1 Peter 1, 25. But the word of God endures forever.
Now this is the word which by the gospel was proclaimed, was preached to you.
The word of God will stand forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's talking about Jesus, who was the incarnate, the word that had been with the Father from the beginning. And that word became flesh, and that word abides forever. And this word that we preach is Christ revealed to us, so that we get ourselves prepared until we see him. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, but reconciled to God.
This is a quote from an unknown author as we pray this morning. The gospel is written a chapter a day by deeds that you do and words that you say. Men read what you say, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? What is the gospel according to you? What do we say? What are we saying? And what are we doing? God is saying, you have been the representative of the kingdom. Speak as kingdom people. Speak life. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak forgiveness. Speak expectation. The whole Testament was speaking the opposite. Speaking condemnation, judgment, unforgiveness, oppression, death. But you have been made competent ministers of the New Testament. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak possibility. Speak that the world might be transformed and changed through you. You can do it. I can do it. The ability has been given by the Spirit of God. Shall we rise as we pray? Let's talk to the Lord. Help me, Lord, to recognize the special position and opportunity you have given me as ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, to adequately represent you, and to also see myself as the minister, competent minister by the Holy Spirit, that we have been set apart. You have been chosen as co-heir with Christ, and we are standing to represent heaven, speaking out the mind of Christ in this generation, representing Him where God has placed you, and giving the message of hope and life, bringing the message of healing and restoration. Let you know that you can do it by His Spirit. Those who are bound can be free. Those who are oppressed can be set free. Hallelujah. I want you to talk to the Lord right now. Talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord, help me not to fear you, Lord. Help me to know who you call me. I am not ordinary believer, I am a minister. I am not ordinary believer, I am an ambassador. Which ministry do I find myself? The ministry of reconciliation. The New Testament ministry. Speaking life, hope. Speaking possibility. Speaking deliverance and liberty. Intergeneration. And Lord, what a glorious opportunity that you have chosen me to represent you where I am. Help me to represent you well, stand for you well.